Good evening. It's September 13th. It is 9:04 Eastern Time, and this is the Natural Healing Call. And we had scheduled, I believe, Cheryl, but she's not here yet, and Terry has volunteered to say a few words in the interim. So, Terry, go ahead, and it's all yours.
And Dave, you're welcome to join in, maybe.
Sure.
And I'm with a group called the Patriot Soapbox. If you go to YouTube and look up Patriot Soapbox, they have a 24/7, and they follow Q in the news. And they have commentary, and they talk about things, and they decode things, and it's a lot of fun. And one of the things they have is a Dr. Misak, or Misak, M-I-S-A-K. If you go to YouTube and look up M-I-S-A-K, he does natural healing and like healing by the numbers. What he does is he has a way to test, and it's all as a fallout from Corey Reams, who wrote a book about it. And he's the only one that's really talking about this. I think there's a few other people. Anyway, he's got a website, PittsburghAlternativeHealth.com. And then if you go to Patriot's Soapbox on Saturday at 9 a.m., he's on there. And what he does is he looks at certain numbers, and I don't know all the factors. There's a video up there that can explain it to you. And they measure several different things. A pH here and pH there and a Brix value. I don't even know what a Brix value is. But this makes more sense than anything I've ever run into up until now. And not on one specific thing, but in a whole range of things. It's like by testing and getting the numbers, you know what's happening inside your body, and you can encourage that, because the whole idea is that the body has a natural healing capability that is misused and abused by a lot of doctors and medicine right now. And by looking at these numbers, by making the measurements and looking at the numbers, you begin to get an idea of what your body is doing, and therefore you end up knowing what you should do to help your body get what it needs to do its own natural healing. And so I just wanted to mention to everybody and get everybody a chance to go to Patriot Soapbox and look for the live feed. And it changes every day because the Zoom doesn't handle 24 hours very well. It drops it by about 22 hours. And it's near continuous, you know, except for the time when they reset. And it's different hosts doing different times and different things. And Saturdays, Dr. Misak is on there from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And it would be really good if you could see one of those. Now, if you go to, where was it? On the YouTube stuff, there are some old shows that you can look at, which were previous weeks, about 2 months worth. And he goes over everything in detail. And he just had a retreat where he taught a bunch of people how to do this and what foods to eat and why. And it's a good place to take a look. Let's see, he received his bachelor's science degree from pharmacy from West Virginia University in 1992. He gained 3.5 years of university hospital experience at Duke University Medical Center. And while he was there, he went and did some, you can read the bio right there on the front. I'm really impressed, and I started following a few things, but I haven't got all the measurement tools yet, so I found something that's been working for me to lose weight, and that's my biggest problem, is I'm overweight. So I'm really impressed. with that and hearing what he's got to say every week. So I encourage everybody to take a look. Any questions on that side?
How does he determine the numbers that you mentioned at the first there?
Yeah, like pH in the urine, pH in your saliva, and then the Brix value, and one on something else, I can't remember what it was. When you have urine and you take a look at it and you count how many particles you can see, and then you multiply by a certain number. It's about as scientific as you can get for us mortals here who just kind of get it done. I was impressed. I was really impressed. And it can take a look. Let me see. I'm on PittsburghAlternativeHealth.com right now, and about Dr. Misak. And let's see. He's got a five-phase program, services. Okay. Down on services, there's some things about when you go in, he will take a look at your blood, and he will take a look at what you're doing. He'll take some tests, and you find out what your body's doing. Lots of times, they've talked hours and hours, and I'm not really good at this, so not yet. I'm getting there, though. It's kind of like something new, and I really like what I've heard so far.
Okay.
So he's got five phases of, finding health again. I like it a lot, and I keep exploring. And that, I thought it would explain it here, but it doesn't, that I can tell. But it walks you through everything. Pittsburgh Alternative Health. Let's see, maybe there's a... Let me look on YouTube, because there's a... Oh, anyway...
Yeah, his YouTube channel is on his website there on the homepage.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Just click the button and away you go.
Okay, so there's how he does it. Yeah, that's a good place. You go to home on that webpage, and there's diagnosis versus analysis or whatever. And then you can listen to the radio programs. Lots and lots of information. Let's see, many health concerns are cited. Our services include nutritional consultation, live blood microscopy, food and chemical sensitivity screening, infrared, sauna. You can read it like I'm doing. There's a podcast. I'm wondering if the radio programs are...
Well, I've got a pretty good story on natural... cures, if you're interested.
Yeah, I am. I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I just got a call last week from my urologist, and he pronounced me clean. It's gone. And if you're interested in the details, last fall I was just taking a routine life insurance test. I thought that'd be a way to get a physical for free, at least the blood work and all of that. And I flunked it, had high PSA, and there was this other test that had a strong indication of prostate cancer, quite high. And that wasn't too exciting. You don't want to see that. And so I went to my regular doctor, who I had not seen for a few years, and pretty much it showed the same thing. And so she said, well, why don't we do an MRI? That's non-invasive. We'll just go take a look. And a few days later, I got a call from her office, and They said, can you come and see the doctor at 10 o'clock Thursday? And I said, well, can you just tell me what it's all about? And she said, well, it's not good because Thursday is the doctor's day off. And so she is coming in to see you. And so we sat down there, and basically there was five pretty big lesions that were showing pretty aggressive stuff. A couple of them were already past the boundary of the prostate, which is not at all what you want to see. And started talking about the options, which is basically taking your prostate out. And all of those extra collateral things, you know, that occur with that, you know, bladder control, sex life, you know, all of those fun things. And boy, I'm just sitting here trying to process this. But it just happened that I've got a good friend who is a real health nut, Roger Drummer, just like a drummer boy. You can look him up. He's an amazing guy, herbal guy, and I'd found out that he had stage 3 bladder cancer, and he had just cured it, clean as a whistle. And of course, with him, his doctor, when they gave that, and he was, you know, hearing all the stuff about not just taking out his bladder, but also his prostate, and you know, that kind of interferes with normal day-to-day life. And the main thing he did was just went into ketogenics, you know, doing a ketogenic diet. And we just talked about, you know, probably what all of you listeners know about, that cancer metabolically is way different than regular cells. You know, the big argument for most people, Otto Warburg, is that it works anaerobically. It's super inefficient. They use about 18 times more energy than regular cells. They've got a lot more receptor sites of, you know, for insulin on the cell wall, and so you just try to do everything you can to make your body inhospitable to the buggers. And so I says, what should I do? And Roger said, well, go on a 10-day water fast. And so, you know, first off, you kind of think, you know, I think maybe God's tapping me on the shoulder here for some lessons to learn. You want to look at that with everything, that here's an opportunity that this can be a great teacher. At the same time, I knew somebody at church that's about my age that had a similar route, and he went just the regular medical thing. And looking at him, what was going through him, and just looking at his body that was being ravaged by the regular stuff, I just thought, one thing's for sure, I'm not going to do that. Just that, you know, that old triage of cut, burn, poison just didn't sound like what I wanted to do to my body. I just, that didn't sound good. And yet, on the other hand, you know, you got to do something. And in fact, you know, I talked to Roger Drummer, and he's saying do the fast, which I did. I also went to the bishop of my church because ours is a lay ministry, and he's a nurse, and so I emailed him the MRI thing. He was over at my house in an hour. Good guy, wonderful guy, and he was reassuring me that life would go on without a prostate, and you know that it's very survivable. It is different. You know, they sell Depends at Costco for a reason. Oh, all of this stuff you just don't, you know, you don't want to do that kind of thing. So I'm just thinking more. I'm going to do the fast, and so I did that, and I think fortuitously there was a specific thing. I was connected to somebody that has zeolite. Now, if you look up zeolite, that's pretty nasty stuff. It has a huge affinity to toxic stuff, you know, heavy metals, things like that. And But there's a company that just bakes the crap out of it, and so now it doesn't have that, and then they push magnesium and calcium into it in place of the, you know, cadmium and lead and all those bad stuff, and then basically it's colloidal, and so it goes in and out of all these cells real easy, but somehow it gets entrapped in cancer. And what happens is it actually helps detox the body because there's all that bad stuff in there, so it soaks up bad stuff out of the body, and then it goes into the cancer cells and just starts that apoptosis that we want, you know, because that you know they're supposed to die and they're not, and that does it at the same time starving the buggers by you know eliminating sugar from your diet. And cancer cells, that's their only energy pathway. All the rest of the cells do really well on ketone bodies. And so basically, the ketogenic diet is about 70% of your calories come from fat, which should be healthy fat. You know, like, you know, I've been eating a couple of avocados a day, you know, coconut oil, you know, the healthy kind of stuff. And so anyway, here I did the long fast, got on the zeolite, some of the other stuff that maybe you've heard of, eating raw garlic, basically two or three cloves a day, mostly minced and put into just homemade dressing. There's this wonderful bulk herb bruschetta spice, and you sprinkle that into your salad, lay on olive oil, throw in the minced garlic, add some raw apple cider vinegar, you know, things like that. I grew to just love that kind of stuff. And so basically I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably doing some good. And so I scheduled to have another MRI to see if I'd moved the needle, what was going on. And when the MRI came back, I got a call from my doctor, and it was worse. It was way worse. And I'm thinking, what the heck? How could this stuff be growing? Because I haven't been giving it anything. You know, starving for days, eating no sugar, eating that zeolite. The directions on the bottle says take 3 drops. Three times a day. I was taking 10 drops an hour. You know, if some is good, more is better, and too much is just right on that department. And I talked to the guy that shared that with me, who has run several people through the program, and he said, well, consider this, that you're not actually showing a growth, but it's actually you're basically looking at a battlefield, that stuff is just laying waste, and so there will be some inflammation and all that going on. And I sent that to my doctor because he'd written that on a text, and she says, yeah, that's plausible. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is where let's give this some more time. A lot of my friends are saying, hey, you know what? Don't be stupid. You better. Do the regular thing, you know. Be careful, and I'm feeling really good about what I'm doing. In fact, my body, you know, I lost 15 pounds on that fast, and ketogenics, using ketone bodies, your body loves it. Brains love being that way. Brains love fasting too. That stuff not only kills all the bad stuff, gobbles up all your, you know, it just gives you a really good house cleaning. There really is something wonderful about doing intermittent fasting. Look it up. It's great stuff. You'll live longer, and it just does all sorts of good things. And so I was feeling better than ever. In fact, I'm keeping my weight down. I weigh now lower than I weighed in 40 years. I just feel terrific. And so anyway, some of the other things I did was black seed oil. Look that up. Roger Drummer's taking 3 spoons of that a day as an example. That's tremendous stuff. There's a great product called Beta Glucan. And if you get on YouTube, there's a thing called chrisbeatcancer.com. and he's got some great stuff. So he talks about the beta glucan. So I got some of that. Nican, our company has an immunity formula that mushroom people say that's the Rolls Royce of multiple mushroom formulas. You look that up. There's some great stuff in that, including the beta glucan. I got powdered vitamin C. Ate lots of that. Frankincense oil. I did quite a bit of that, but I think the blue, you know, there's a lot of overlap with just the black seed oil, and that's less expensive. And Google black seed oil. It's amazing. In fact, specifically, there's a guy on YouTube, and he was given 6 months to live with prostate cancer, and he says, "Hey, I just got on this stuff, and the doctor said I was going to be dead in 6 months, and it's gone," and that's all he did. Anyway, all this stuff: apricot pit kernels, chewing them down, cayenne pepper, Essiac tea capsules. I did it in capsule form. What else did I do? If it was something to do, I did it. And so, anyway, finally went into the oncologist. They did that digital exam that they do, and he said, "Hey, this is a good sign. I'm feeling a soft prostate." Well, if you Google cancer prostates, it says it actually uses the word rock hard. And he says, "Well, okay, I'm going to schedule you to see the urologist." And so a couple of weeks later, I went and saw him. You know, still doing all of this stuff, and went in and saw the urologist. Oh my goodness, you know, that digital exam thing. He really fills around. It feels really different being a guy, and you got this gland that's way inside of you, and it's just they lift up the hood and there they are. I didn't know they could. he said, "You know what? This is good. This is positive." And so he says, "But I really think you should do the biopsy." And that's not a fun thing at all. That's where they stick. If you look that up, if you're not aware, they basically stick these long needles, and it goes through your intestinal wall on into your prostate gland. And I would say, as far as the actual pain itself, it's pretty much the same as a dental procedure. But the anxiety, the psychological. If you can, you know, your imagination, it's a whole lot worse than the dentist, but as far as the actual pain, about the same. Anyway, what was really neat is basically how they do that. It's this probe, and they put it in you, and the probe basically is an ultrasound transducer, an imager. So they can actually view the prostate, and then it has this hollow shaft in it where they put the needle in, and so they can guide and actually see where to put it. But as he's doing that, he says, you know, he's got my MRI from before, and he says, "I'm looking at the MRI, and I'm looking at you live on this sonogram, and I'm not seeing anything." Isn't that awesome? And he says, "Well, I'll just match up the bad places on the MRI, and I think we should go ahead and do that." And so I got all those 12 samples, and anyway, he called me last week and said there's nothing there; it's gone. And so, hallelujah, jubilation! Thank you, God, and the body is marvelously created, and so. I would certainly try doing natural stuff before you do the cut, burn, and poison. So that's my personal experience. And anyway, I'm sure glad to have that off of my mind. Just imagine you might feel really good, but thinking there's a time bomb in there. Wow, this is not good.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've learned my lesson. No more binging. I'm not even going to eat one cookie. Before, if I ate one cookie, I never did. I ate 12 cookies. And brownies, ice cream, nope. I just think, do I want to live or do I want to die? And so just as an option, just as a thought, my fail-safe thing was to go to Reno, Nevada. There's a clinic there. And what they do is instead of doing the conventional stuff, they take advantage of the difference metabolically. And you fast a little bit. And fasting is so good. And in fact, if you were going to do conventional in Europe, they do this a lot. And it's well documented. If you fast a couple of days before you do chemo, your regular cells kind of go dormant, almost kind of suspended animation. Metabolically, they slow way down. But the cancer cells, since they're so inefficient, they're just starving. And so all those extra receptor sites, they're wide open. You know, feed me. And then they do the chemo, and it's more selective. And then you fast a day after. So a total of 3 days. But if you talk to a doctor in America, they say, oh, no, we can't ask people to do that. And besides, you know, that really taxes you. So, you know, you probably should have hamburgers and milkshakes to, you know, keep your energy up. But anyway, kind of going back to Reno, what they do, and I did a consultation with that doctor, is they give you about a tenth of the normal traditional chemo, a tenth. Also, not just a fast, they actually give you some insulin and get you way down, so your blood sugar is just super low, and so it just exacerbates that condition to really amplify the effect. So your regular cells are pretty much asleep and dormant, and then the cancer cells are just screaming, you know, feed me, and then they throw in that chemo along with a cocktail of a bunch of other things. They do, you know, intravenous vitamin C, ozone, a lot of other things as well. And so it's a vitalizing spa treatment in a way, versus you know, getting wiped out. Basically, the regular treatment to me is kind of like you got rats in your house, and so let's burn the house down to get rid of the rats, and hopefully all the rats are gone, and you've got a few parts of the house still standing, but ideally. If you can let food and good things take care of what's wrong with you, boy, what business would you want to have doing drugs and toxic and bad stuff? But so anyway, I've got my personal experience, and so I'm pretty excited to be free. It's a wonderful thing to have a doctor say there's nothing there. It didn't show anything. My friend at church, I told him I was clean, and he's just finishing with his radiation. He's still having the hormone shots, you know, that basically make you a eunuch. And he said all of his 12 bio things, you know, biopsies showed cancer, and I don't know. I'm just so thankful to have dodged that experiment. And knowledge and discipline are power. So anyway, there's my story, and I hope it might inspire and give hope to someone else.
Craig
didn't
know
that. That feels great.
Yeah. It'll take a while for that to fully sink in, you know.
Oh,
and you breathe that huge sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your PSA when you started, and what would it be now?
Basically, I wasn't ridiculous. It was, I think, 5'5", something like that. You know, just a little over 5. The big marker, and I don't have that in front of me, but it was some other blood test that showed an indication that there might be malignancy. And so that, you know, the 5 is high, but it's not you know, I'm 68, and so that's not too bad.
Right.
But and the urologist said, "Hey, you're clean. I want you to see me in a year, and we'll do a PSA." So he's quite confident to say, "Come back in a year."
Right.
That's quite exciting. So yeah, no more ice cream for me. I just ain't. I like it, but it doesn't like me. And you know, your taste buds, everything really transforms. I don't want to get back on sugar. I'm off of it. It's an addictive drug, the way it's in so many foods, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now, and life is good. Life is really good.
Yep. Okay, did you...
Well, that's amazing. Go ahead.
Well, I feel blessed, and I highly recommend this kind of stuff to anyone. Try this first. If you got a little bit of time, and I think everyone does, go immediately do a water fast, and then get on those same things I did. It's good for you anyway.
So when you fasted, you just drank water but no food. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I cheated a little bit. I actually had to fly and go do a seminar 3 days into it, and I was going to be standing and talking for a couple of hours, and 3 days into it, I was kind of weak and still kind of adjusting a little bit, and so I had one scoop of a really high quality, protein powder that didn't have any sugar or anything, and it was probably about 50 calories. In that period of time, I probably had 60, 70 calories. That was it.
And didn't drink any fruit juices or anything like that?
No. Fruit juice is sugar. That feeds cancer. Yeah. Pretty much what you do is you veggies above the ground, you eat. Veggies below the ground have too much carb. So especially sugar you avoid, but even things that might be simple carbs that the body can turn to sugar easily. So you really just stay away from carbs as much as you can, but especially simple carbs. And live food is really good. And, ate a lot of cruciferous, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, things like that. Garlic, cancer hates garlic. Lemon juice, that's a good fruit juice. We squoze lemons. And, cancer doesn't like citric acid either or any of that kind of stuff. Or vitamin C, That's really good. So I bought powdered vitamin C and stirred it in things. Got some of those, ketone drinks sweetened with stevia. No artificial stuff. Added vitamin C powder and lemon juice to those. You can eat pretty good. You just stay away from bread and rice, and I want to eventually get back into lentils and beans. I really enjoy that kind of stuff, so I'd like eventually go in there. But I don't have any problem. I just when I think of brownies or ice cream or things like that, I just think I'm not going to feed that. Those bad things. That's cancer food. I had a son that had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and you're probably aware of this. They would do the radiation and all that kind of stuff, and then to see if they'd gotten it, they would actually squirt some sugar that was radioactively tagged, and then they'd do a PET scan, and the cancer cells, you'd know right where they were. They'd just light up, yum yum yum, you know, yum yum, eat them up. And you think, okay, every doctor knows that about that, and if you're into that cancer at all, you think, okay, if they're using sugar to see where the little buggers are, why would I put that into my mouth? So,
what did you eat for protein?
probably my most enjoyable was fish. There's a book called How Not to Die, and it talks about that eggs and poultry, there's a connection with that and prostate cancer. So I've kind of backed off on that. I used to eat quite a few eggs. I've talked to other people, and they say, well, I'm not sure on that. And they mentioned specifically choline, and I had actually put that in my shakes. I thought that was good for brains and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm doing a few eggs, but not like I used to. But I got a bunch of sardines. A little can of sardines, and open that up, put on a salad is really good. That's low on the chain, so there's not much toxicity compared to, you know, the bigger fish. There's a really nice butcher place right by my office, and so you can get grass-fed beef there, and broccoli beef with lots of garlic and onions and stuff is exquisite. And
so that's chicken. Chicken
I really
meat,
kind of backed off on chicken. You know, we do the organic, but even that, after reading that book, I think I'm just going to kind of back off on, because I used to think chicken was kind of the health food of meats, but I'm
right,
not so
most
sure.
People see it that way.
And people that eat a lot of chicken are fat too, so that makes you kind of think. Yeah, so probably my favorite, I'm in the Northwest, and my favorite protein, I think having salmon is just a real, real gift. I can't get tired of that. I could probably eat that every day.
Have you seen some of the pictures of the salmon now that are being affected by the radiation from Fukushima?
Yeah, and also farmed salmon is not a thing you want to do either.
No, it's terrible. Yep.
Yeah. That thing that's scary. We're doing something wrong. You want to really be careful, because when I remember, it was one out of five would get cancer. You know, just as I've grown along, and then one out of four, one out of three. Now it's getting close to one out of two people get it. There's scary things.
One thing that I don't like about the medical profession is that use of their 12 needle biopsies in the prostate.
Well, because it sure was an entertainment, all for
no. And you can get needle tract problems and get the cancer to spread because of that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the clinic down in Reno, where my FelSafe was going to be, would be. If all the stuff I'd done, if I still had it, then I was going to go down there, and they said, "Oh, that's no big deal, because if you got any stuff floating around, we'll mop it up real easy with our protocol." So I thought, okay, if I don't have it, then I'm not going to worry. If I do have it, then he was real confident he could get it, and my chiropractor had sent quite a few end stage people that. They were gone, and they went down there, and they rallied, and he got them. Talk about food. I was talking to him down there, and they had real good success. He says, but you got to work with it. He said they had a guy that came back a couple of times, and while they were treating him, he was He was having a pizza with a big gulp, and right while they were treating him, and he just refused to change his ways. And so you want to work with this. What you eat and what you don't eat is powerful stuff. Food is a big thing. Yeah, as in modern terms, you could say food is an epigenetic modulator. That means it tells what genes to express themselves and whatnot. So, yeah, powerful stuff. Well, that's all I know. So, hopefully I've inspired and maybe given some information that might help someone else.
I'm sure it will. Does anybody else have any questions for this evening? Well, that sounds like a no.
And thank you for that testimony, Dave.
Right.
Oh, I'm glad I could share. Well, everyone have a wonderful and blessed evening. Take care.
Okay. I'm going to shut down the panel and bring it up a little while for the next call. We'll see you all in a little bit.